I say here? Good afternoon, brethren. Welcome. Welcome, visitors. This is awesome. We live in a world that's always in turmoil, especially late in the last few years. Or one of the things that they really promote is hate. We see hate all around the world. If you don't do what they think you should be doing, they hate you. And they'll tell you. No matter how much love you send to them, they're going to tell you they hate you. That's beside the point. This message, we're going to call it, this word called love. We all know, or at least we think we know, about love. What love is, don't we? Do we all know what love is? Do we really? Probably not. This is one of those four-letter words. Could be hate. That's a four-letter word. That we can use with and say without getting in trouble for using it. Using some bad language. It's not so much how we say it as it is how we perceive what it means. The expression love is used in such a variety of ways that the true meaning is lost. It's twisted. Or it's corrupted to actually mean something else totally different. We will find that the words we use, should probably use, be more like, desire, infatuated, and in the stretch of our human carnality, lust. Webster's love now is strong, tender affection, deep devotion as to one's child or parent or spouse, etc. The affection left felt by two people who are sexually attracted to one another. It's like young people attracted to a possible mate down the road. A person who is an object of another's affection. A great interest of fondness, love of learning. Often capitalized like a god of love, like Cupid, Eros. In tennis, the score love is nothing. So when you hear him say love, you know they had nothing. Fallen love. To begin feeding affection, passionate interest for the love, for the sake of, in love, experience love for another. To make love. This is for a sexual relationship. To embrace your kids. To embrace, to kiss. To feel love, especially for one of the opposite sex. Be in love. Attachment, fondness. These are just definitions. As you can see from the aforementioned definitions are twisted meaning of reality or what true love really is. Some truth, some human license to use for our own interpretation or advantage. Let's take a look at other ways we misuse or misinterpret the use of this word called love. It's used in thoughts to express a strong like for something, such as when we drive by a house that really looks good, like. We may say, I really love that place. Or guys, now listen to guys, driving down the road. And out of the corner of your eye, you catch the glimpse of a car. That we seem to think the greatest looking one we've ever seen before. Saying in our mind's eye, or even out loud to somebody next to us, get a load of that car. I would really love to have that one. Sure would love that one. That turns it more from love or like to what? Lust. I know I've been there. How about personal love? Well, look at her or look at him. Say, I love that one. I remember when I was young, and I was once, just once, and had friends that fell in love or out of love about every 5 minutes. As soon as they saw a different girl or guy, hormones, you know, it doesn't take long for them to change their mind. We have young people in here. That's nice. I'd like to see that. But if we're not careful, our so-called love is just a misdirected case of lust. Though the Bible is filled with so-called love stories, such as Jacob and Rebecca, this is not the love I want to talk about today. There's much more greater love that we have to have, that is godly love for one another. Believe it or not, this kind of love does not come to us naturally. We're not born with this kind of love. We must learn it from our Father in heaven, or our Savior Jesus Christ, who loved us so much he died for us. We can also learn it from our parents, who had to learn it themselves. So we must go to God's word to find out about this love. First, let's go to Matthew 22. Where Jesus was asked who the woman that had been married seven times would be married to at the resurrection. Verse 24, saying, "Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, his brother must marry his wife and raise offspring to her, his brother." This goes up to, let's just read it. Now there were with us seven brothers. Their first died, and after he had married, having no offspring, and left his wife to his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third, even to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her as a wife. Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that spoken that you, by God, saying, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob'? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus, saying to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Not long ago, I read an article in a local newspaper here. An article under Christianity, the question was asked, "I know we're supposed to love everybody if we're good Christians, but isn't that unrealistic? Especially this time of year, you get people coming together, like for Thanksgiving, for Christmas, and the regular normal people, I guess. And then you have family reunions. And some of the people we get around just aren't very lovable. I think we've all came across that. They make it hard to love them, including some of our relatives. I know a lot of times when you get, especially with family reunions, it can be something that happened 20 years ago. You gotta have that one person out of maybe 50 in that family reunion has to bring up something that they should not have brought up. It didn't. It was gone a long time ago. They just have to get in there and just push it a little bit, needle you a little bit. Yeah, we don't do that. One of the keys is to ask God for help, to help us to begin to look at others at the same way as he does. He sees us just as we are, faults, sins, and all. But he desires that we be rid of them and become more like he is. Remember, God loves us in spite of our faults. If he didn't, he would never have sent his only son into the world to offer up a sacrifice of his life for our salvation. This is more, there is more to this point than just action on his part. More on that later. When we begin to see people through his eyes, we'll begin to love them the same way he does. In spite of their faults, we all have faults. We'd like to say that we don't, but we do. Then we'll be able to see our own sins. And we can see them in a different way. We can see our own sins and our shortcomings. Then we'll realize that apart from God's grace, we're not any different or any better than they are. We just look different. We have a different face. We have a different mind. The person answering that question also says, as you approach the holidays, ask God to give you an extra measure of patience. But most of all, ask God to help you love others the same way. Christ loved us freely and beyond measure. That's hard for us to do because we're still human. It may not change them, at least at first. And guess what it will do? It will change you. I'd like to digress here. If you notice, in general, people of our so-called Christian world seem to try to be loving and nicer this time of year when they feel they're honoring Christ. And at least superficially, until they're, guess what? Shopping. Black Friday, the day after Christmas. No, they don't. They're nice as long as they can get their way on it. You see pictures, you see news stories where a mall or whatever, they'll have people in there that's, they're decking it out because somebody else got what they wanted, and they want it, and they're going to get it however they want to. That's not the way to do it. This is where the love of many wax cold. This is a tongue-in-cheek, so to speak. But we're not to be like this. Of course, we know that Christmas is not honoring Jesus Christ. If we want to show the love of Christ, we will do it his way. Following are a few of the ways how we can have the love that Christ and God the Father desires in us. I'll just read this here. John 15, verse 13 through 17. Tells us, greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatever I command. I had a hard time with that a bit at first. It's like, well, you do what I say, you know, like on the playground. You're going to do it this way. Well, then I understand where it's coming from. But you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I call you friends, for all things I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. God, Christ chose us. We didn't choose him. We seem to think that we did. We choose to go that way after we know it. But we're called. We're called to a work that we all need to be working on. How did this start for our good and edification? John 3:16 says, For God loved, true godly love, the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I think we all want that. But we need God's help, his Holy Spirit, to have the power to learn and to practice love. How do we do that? Let's turn to Acts 2. Read 38 and 39. Let's go to 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children, and to all who are far off, as many as you have on down the road, as many as the Lord your God will call." Your children, your grandchildren, your grandchildren's grandchildren. But we need, the Ten Commandments was given to us for a reason, as a instruction. How to love God and our fellow man. I'd recommend, if you haven't read it lately, if you'd read it again and study it. It is so full of God's love for us, it is hard to totally grasp the magnitude for ours and the lives of others that we come in contact with. Ephesians 5:12-2. I'll just read this. "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for sweet smelling aroma." As Jesus himself encourages us about love for one another in John 14:5, "If you love me, keep my commandments." That's showing your love to God. Let's go to 1 John. You turn with me, please. John 4. And read verses 7 through 13. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God is manifest toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his only Son to be a propitiation or an atonement for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we are abide in him, he in us, because he has given us his Spirit." Brethren, love is not an easy on our own, but with the help of God's Holy Spirit, it is worth it. Keep seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness, and continually pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven," and show love to one another. Have a happy Sabbath.